If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Rugby Rant fans, I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara, and we're doing a run, pass, or kick interview today. And it's kind of funny. One, my voice sounds like shit, so excuse that. It's been like this for about 3 weeks, but I told Rob that he could have the night off, and I'll do this interview considering I know Robbie, who's going to be our guest. But it's the first time I've done an interview in a long time for the Rugby Rant. So it's going to be interesting. But I wanted to introduce our interview guest tonight is Robbie Gusak. He is the hooker for New Paul's Rugby. He's also the social media manager on their executive board. Robbie, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we just kind of wanted to do like a little series about how, you know, collegiate teams are getting out there besides just tabling. I mean, tabling is a big thing, obviously, you know, to get the people on campus over, but then it's how do you get those people around campus? You know, maybe people are avoiding, you know, those days where all the clubs are tabling because they have, you know, what they're an introvert, something like that, you know, and as you know, and as we know, you know, we're inclusive in rugby. So we're always looking for somebody who wants to join. So, you know, we're just kind of tailoring around your duty as like the social media chair. But Robbie, just give us an intro about you, how long you've been at New Paul's, your major, all that stuff.
So this is my second year at New Paul's. I'm a fall semester junior. I'm a hooker on the rugby team for 15s and in the spring for 7s. And I've been a social media manager for 2 semesters so far.
Nice. And where were you before New Paul's?
I was at Ithaca. For my freshman year, I played rugby in the spring semester for the 7th season. That was my first introduction to rugby.
With 7s, which is always yeah. Fun. It gotta love it. But I met Robbie through his father. Me and his father are fellow Freemasons, and we see each other every Sunday. And you know, when I came into Masonry, he was like, "Hey, you know, my son plays rugby," and I'm like, "Well, I played rugby. I've been involved in rugby, and we have the show." And for the last 2 years, we've been trying to work to actually get Robbie on to kind of go through this. And I think now that you've been through 2 semesters as the social media manager, it gives you a little bit more to talk about. You know, we wanted to make sure that, like, you know, there's some meat on that bone to discuss what we're going to discuss. But real quick, we're just going to hit an intro and be right back. So the first question really, and I kind of know, I mean, I know most of these answers, but, you know, what inspired you to become the social media manager for the team? I mean, is it really your background in what your major is going to be? Is that really kind of what it was?
Yeah. So I'm a digital media major and I have a background in photography, which I do for the team also. So I kind of just wanted to combine those two, the sport and my major, and put it all together and manage the social media, the Instagram, TikTok. Also, I'm just always on social media, so I could always see what trends are going on, what's something fun that we could do for the team to put on Instagram.
I mean, I got to be honest, I follow a ton of collegiate teams in the U.S., men's and women's, and I actually follow a lot of the women's club teams in the U.K. having an outstanding social media presence. I mean, with trends and highlights and just doing funny stuff. And it's really exciting to see, because that's how it's going to grow, right? That's how it's going to grow with the younger generation. You know, you're about 20 years younger than me. You know, so for me, when I started playing rugby, Facebook was localized to the school. And you needed a school email address to actually go on Facebook. And I could only see people that went to UMass Dartmouth. I couldn't see people outside of school. And then like sophomore year, it became, okay, now you can see people at other schools. And then by the time I graduated, like my mother was on Facebook, which is, you know, interesting. Luckily, knock on wood for me, a lot of my rugby shenanigans never made it onto Facebook. We were naive enough to not put it up there then, and then, you know, kind of exploded afterwards. But I think, again, this is probably a huge recruiting tool on campus for most people. So the next question is, you know, so you're a player, you're in this board position, and obviously you have an academic workload. So how do you balance doing all three of those?
So I have no class on Wednesdays, luckily. So I can do a lot of stuff and plan what I want to post on Wednesdays. I also get stuff ready, like in between classes or after class during the evening. So I'll see like when we have a match. So for instance, we have a match this Sunday. I'm getting posts ready this week to post. So I posted something this afternoon, just some fun things from practice. And then on Thursday, usually if we have a match on Sunday, I'll post on Thursday. So I'll get a post ready during the week, either after class or on Wednesdays when I have nothing going on. And I'll get a post up on Thursday and then again on Saturday. And usually the posts I make don't take a lot of time. A lot of it's just pictures from previous matches or some pictures from practice or videos. And sometimes I'll make graphics, let's say like almost game day or one more sleep. And it doesn't take a lot of time, luckily. So I do have some room to play with when I do post things.
And that's actually, you probably just answered the next question, which is like, what was the typical week like as far as planning a posting? I mean, you already kind of hit it where the time frame, you've hit the content, you know, what you're really doing. So what do you think performs the best as far as your content? Is it match highlights, player profiles? Is it the meme type of TikTok stuff? Like, what do you think hits the best?
So right now we're kind of starting to make more funny Instagram reels and seeing what's going on TikTok with other teams, other collegiate teams and club teams, and seeing if we can make something similar to that just to have some more fun. So it's not always just posting game pictures and posting the scores. And so we're going to try to do more of that this week, but a lot of it's just after a game, our guys, we like seeing our photos of hits or runs. We like seeing that posted on Instagram. Everyone likes seeing photos of themselves playing. So that always performs well. A lot of the times we'll, if we do a post like almost game day or one more sleep till our match, I'll use pictures from media day, or if we're just hanging out as a team, if we're going on hikes and things like that, because I try to save some game picks for certain posts, and I try to have some other things for other posts. I mostly try to do the game picks for after the games and leading up to the following games, but a lot of times it's most of the game picks that do well.
Nice. So I'm assuming you focus mostly on TikTok and Instagram, right? I mean, that's kind of where the younger generation is looking for as far as social media, right?
Yeah. So we have an Instagram and TikTok. The TikTok we haven't really posted on in a couple of years. When we try to do more trends or seeing what's going on TikTok, we're also going to, I personally would put them on Instagram, because not everybody's on TikTok, especially a lot of our followers or like family members of the players or some of the older alumni, and they might not have TikTok. So if we put them on Instagram, and even if we do put on TikTok as well, if we put on Instagram, they could see what's going on. They could see like that we're not always just serious and posting things. We yeah. are like posting some fun trends or just having fun and like having fun at practice and putting that online. But Instagram is my go-to for everything that I post.
Gotcha. I mean, again, it makes sense. I'm sure that's like, you know, where most of your engagement for the young people is going to be. The older crowd is starting to get into Instagram. Most of them have an Instagram to look at their children, their grandchildren. So, I mean, again, you're kind of crossing the demographic on what you're trying to hit in a good way for Instagram. How do you measure engagement, or like, what do you define as a successful post? Is it like the analytics that you're tracking, how many interactions, or is it just like, hey, let's post something fun and, you know, show our non-rugby side? Like, what do you got? What do you consider a success?
So I don't look at the analytics too much. I mostly just look at how many likes we get, comments we get occasionally. Sometimes a lot of the comments are just like, where's the game or what time, where's the field, from like the newer players or newer families who want to come watch. But I mostly look at likes and see what performs well after a match. If we win, it obviously will perform well than some of the other posts. But also with Media Day, last spring we had Media Day, and I tried to get everyone at least one picture.
Yeah.
So those will, whenever someone sees themselves, they'll share it with other people. Then we'll get more likes and more shares. We're going to do that again this year, in a couple days. So mostly just pictures and videos with likes. I just like to keep track of likes and see if this post has a certain amount of likes, I might do the same thing the next week.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you know what? You can complain to the guys like, hey, you know, we didn't win, social media is down, so let's win a couple matches so that our social media, you know, hits a new high here. And I'm sure most of your dumb front row players are the ones asking, like, what time is kickoff? Do I have to show up for you know, pre-match? Is there a bucket of KFC afterwards? You know, all the typical forward questions. But at least regardless, it's engagement, whether it's dumb forwards or bots. Listen, it's gonna put it out there for somebody to find it. So at this point, you know, it's not like a big deal if it's not the engagement you want, as long as it's being engaged. So do you use any tools or software to edit your content? Like, is there anything specific you use?
So I use Canva. I use it for all the photos, editing all the photos, making the graphics. But when I do videos over the summer, I did a kind of like a highlight reel that we also use for recruiting, just to show people what rugby is, what the team is. For that, I used CapCut, nice. Which is a lot of people use for like TikToks and short YouTube videos. So I use that for the video editing and if we're doing short reels on Instagram. But I mostly use Canva because it has everything I need for the graphics and editing the photos.
Yep. No, I love Canva, and you can get, you know, take low resolution, make it high resolution. You can do a lot of stuff as far as it has automatic formats for social media, excuse me. So it'll put it in the specific ratios depending on what you're trying to do, which is always great. You know, time saver. Again, we talk about time management and the fact that you're playing, you're doing the social media, and you're going to school and you're working. So how are you putting that all together? You know what I mean? So it's great. How hard is it to coordinate the players to say like, hey, we're going to make a video? Like, do you have like a core group of five or six dudes who are like, of course I'll make a silly TikTok, and the rest of the team is like, get out of my face? You know, how does that work?
So last semester, when I first got the TikTok account, I was like, this is going to be cool. We're going to make some TikToks. I've already saved a bunch of videos that I want to do that seem like they could be fun and that can get good engagement. And then I didn't do any of it last semester. And then we had board elections at the end of the spring semester. And I'm still social media director. And people are coming up to me like, hey, we should do some TikToks. We should do some Instagram reels, just some more fun stuff. Like, I'll send you a bunch of videos that we could try. And I was like, that's great. I would love to do that. I didn't do it last semester because I didn't think anybody would be interested. Like, I didn't think anybody would want to get their cleats on and get all ready for practice and then start filming TikToks. And then even after practice, everyone's all tired. They just want to go home and eat. So this semester, I was just talking to our president about it, how I have like a list of TikToks and Instagram reels that I want to film and that we only need a couple of guys for. And I know I've heard from some guys that they're definitely interested in doing some fun videos and TikToks to post.
Yeah, and you know what? You could, if you have your list, you can bang them out. You can tell the guys, hey, we're going to spend, you know, 30, 40 minutes and bang out five different things that you can post. And you know, you do that every other week and all of a sudden you have a bunch of social media kind of, you know, in your chamber there to just kind of throw out. And I think that's the easiest way to get some of these knuckleheads to get together. I mean, you know how it is. They're not as all set up as you, you know, as far as how they're living their collegiate lives, you know?
And I have like the list, and we were saying we should film three or four in one day so we could put one out once a week for the next few weeks and then figure out what to do the next following weeks.
So do you have anybody else you work with as far as gathering the photos and the videos and stuff like that?
So Dad takes all the photos for the team. Nice. And then we have one of our players' dads comes with a tripod and takes some videos.
Nice.
So when he's at those games, I'll scrub through the videos, see if there's any cool highlights or any tries. From a game a couple weeks ago, our international student this semester scored two tries that game. One of them was a little chip and chase nice. Into the try zone. So we wanted to highlight that post, highlight him and post that. So I'll just like go through the video, go through the whole match, screen record if there's anything that to post, and then I'll post that. And then I always run through with our president, are these good to post? I'm going to post these this day, post this the next day. How should I do the caption? Everything like that. So it's mostly just me and our president.
I mean, it's good to do that, though, to bounce that off of somebody at least in the organization. Again, you know, sometimes you're thinking and maybe, you know, I have this all the time with Hammer where I'm like, hey, this is how I'm going to word something, but something's nagging me that it doesn't sound right. How does it look to you? And he'll either be like, oh, you're just kind of crazy and you're thinking, or he'll be like, no, yeah, it sounds a little awkward. Let's change it. Cause having just that one filter for me, cause I do the social media for the Rant, is like, you're like, man, does this actually make sense? How is it going to land and all that stuff? And for you guys, again, you know, there is a more of an issue if you were to post something that was, you know, sounded a little weird. You know what I mean? You're a club, you're representing the school, you got the school patch on you. And so you want to put the best foot forward, and you know, bouncing off is the best way to do it.
We try to censor things as much as we can and then save everything else for our own group chat.
Exactly.
Everything that we want to get posted, we're not sure about. If we're not sure about it, it's not getting posted. And I'll even get like recommendations from guys like, oh, we should like do this kind of post, we should do that. And I'll kind of like think about it and see if it's something that we should post on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just it's you love the ideas, but also there's an image you want to put out. That's the whole point, right? You want to put out this image of whatever you and the executive board have decided to put out there. But, you know, I think sometimes you always get a diamond in the rough too, where a guy will be like, hey, I have this idea. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, that actually sounds really good in something. So it's always good to get those. It's hard for me and Hammer, you know, we're both older and we live in different states. So TikTok trends where we're dancing or doing stuff, kind of tough because this is how we interact most of the time. So most of our TikTok content is the show. Or I'm reposting things from like, you know, your Scrum Half Connection who does a lot of work with the women's game, or just honestly stuff from club teams and college teams that are funny, you know, get the word out there. So can you tell me like one post or one campaign like you're especially proud of, like what made that work?
Probably one that I could think off the top of my head that I'm proud of is my first post that I did when I first became social media director back in at the end of the fall semester last year. It was over winter break and I was getting a post ready to announce the new board. Yeah. So I looked at different clubs across the world and different teams and collegiate teams to see like what kind of graphic I would do, how they do it, what do they do to say like this is their position, this is who they are, their position on the field. So, and then I had our president at the time sending me different options and try to do something like this and include a picture of them playing and just a headshot. So what I did was I went on Canva and just tried out a bunch of different things to see what worked. I wound up doing one where it's a picture of them playing as a background, their headshot in the bottom corner, And in the top corner, it's their name, their position on the field, and their position on the board. And there's just different shapes of blue and orange and our team colors around it.
Listen, it's that again, we talked about the just how we can use Canva, but going to different clubs and teams and seeing how they're doing it, honestly, a key for me, I do that a lot where I look at what other shows are doing, and not just rugby, but anybody, you know, whether it's football or hockey or anybody talking about a sport, how are they doing it? What are they doing it? What does it look like? How can we, I'm not going to lie, steal what they're doing, especially if it's getting a lot of engagement, you know, because maybe it's just as simple as always having three people, you know, something like that. Like, you know, there's different things. But, you know, I think that's one of the best things about social media is keying in on those things that other people are doing that are successful. And then you being able to do those yourself. So it's great. So how do you use like social media to build the team culture? Like, what do you think it's just getting the guys on the page there and saying, you know, so-and-so had a great game and making sure that everybody that had a great game is engaged in it.
Yeah. So that's one part that I like to do is highlight different players at the end of the season. And I did it last season. If a player reaches a certain amount of caps, that's like a milestone. I'll announce it there. And then they'll see it and share it everywhere. Then we'll get more views that way. But also, even just like if we have a team event going on, a few months ago, we had a hike. So then after the hike, I posted some pictures of everybody at the hike and having fun, showing that we're not just rugby, that we are like friends in real life, not just teammates in the field. Like we do like hanging out with each other. And posted some pictures from the hike and show it, because it also shows people and even new recruits that we're trying to get that we have fun off the field. And like, we want to try to do things that it's not all rugby.
Absolutely. You know, and again, it's eclectic and it's the sport and the men's and the women's team. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. It's doing things together. It's doing things in little groups, doing things as a team. You know, whether it's hiking or a charity event or a social, or again, just getting the word out there. Or like, my next question is going to be is, do you collaborate with other campus organizations or maybe one of the other team sports on campus?
Yeah, so we do. We actually have a social right after this with another organization on campus. And we'll sometimes try to do things with the women's team. A couple of weeks ago, we both had a home game on the same day. So we announced it on both Instagram pages that like, go support the women's team and stay after and watch the men's team play. And same for us, go to the field earlier to support them. They had like a tabling event also. If they have a tabling event somewhere, we'll sometimes do it as well. And then kind of do things together and support both teams. And then we're also trying to do some things with other clubs and organizations on campus so other people can see like what rugby is that wouldn't normally know the sport at all.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, when we were at UMass Dartmouth, when I was the vice president, we did this whole thing with just about every club on campus. And we had, you know, a tug of war, you know, and it was all bracketed out and, you know, to the finals. And then we had a game of like, you know, 10 minute tag. And then again, that was bracketed out club by club. And then we did a table event and we were selling these little stickers for the Children's Miracle Network for $1. And it was, you know, who could sell the most stickers. And we brought it into, you know, aggregate to say, okay, this club won. Da, da, da. And it was a cross campus event that they ended up doing every year after that, as far as I know. And again, it was also showing the other clubs that we're not just a sport that's bashing heads in, right? Where there's some depth there. There's some camaraderie there that not only are you a club, we're a club, we're all supporting the school. We all have the school's name, you know, on a shirt, and we're putting our best foot forward. And how could you cross that? Not just the men's and the women's team, but whatever, the robotics club or a different sport or whatever's going on, you know? So I always loved doing that when I was in school. It was one of the best parts. So when we talked about the engagement, I mean, I highly doubt you guys get negative comments, but like, how do you handle just overall feedback on posts? Like when one of your dumb forwards said something, do you interact with them or you just text them out in the group chat like, hey, Todd, stop being stupid, you know?
We don't really get negative comments.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of, which, I mean, it's like somewhat negative, but it's also somewhat just annoying. We played a game last fall, I think it was, and one of our players got injured, and we kind of had to do like a makeshift game after that. And we kind of only played, I think, 20 minutes of the second half. And the game, I think, wound up tying. I think it was like 12-12 or something like that, something close. And then in the comments, like, we posted the game, we posted the score. In the comments, they were like, oh, no, we won. And then we had another school comment after that. Like, I'm kind of back in New Paltz on this one. And so that's kind of like the only really negative
that's
thing.
Like, and that's like hands off. You're like, let them fight it out. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. Because we had one team like supporting us. And the team we played kind of like, no, we're going to put it in as a win for us. But we kind of just let it go. I don't really interact with comments that much.
Yeah.
Because we don't get too many. A lot of it is just like, and I'm not like a fire emoji or something.
Yeah.
Something supportive if we score, if we show a video of a score or highlighting players. We don't really get too many comments in general on any posts.
I mean, and you're not getting anything from like mostly the back row saying, how come there's not a picture of me with my hair waving and all that? Because that's what I would assume you would get. You know?
We're not getting a lot of comments blaming the backs about knock-ons and everything like that either. So.
Oh man. I love it. So what are your goals for growing the team's online presence going into next year? I mean, I'm going to assume, you know, going into your quote unquote senior year, right. You're probably going to stay in this position. So how are you looking to grow it?
So when I was looking back at the TikTok, I saw they did a thing with the New York Ironworkers when they were still around. They did like a day one until the Ironworkers follow us and day two and everything like that until we actually followed them and they met them in person at a game. So we were thinking maybe doing that with the New York Exiles, doing like a day one to the Exiles follow us or come to a practice or come to a game and maybe going out to one of their matches as like a team event when they start playing. So I think just maybe getting some more like professionalism, I guess, to post, to follow, to interact with throughout the online presence.
Definitely. You know, and I think you could start going after other sports too. You know, like I wouldn't be surprised if you went after like the Sirens of the PWHL and been like, because and the cool thing about it is a lot of the women's teams now, their colors are all the same. It's that seafoam blue and green, and they just announced the professional women's baseball team again, keeping those same New York colors, which is awesome. And I mean, even if you did something for, you know, New England Free Jacks, and how many days till whatever their stupid mascot is, Whoopi, whatever his name is, follows us, you know, stuff like that, you know. So I think you could go around and do that for any sport, and even, you know, to be honest, if you look for minor league teams, they all love doing stuff like that. The Savannah Bananas, you know, I mean, their presence was built on social media. So I think, again, if you look at what they're doing and look at what you've been successful at before, which again was the Ironworker stuff, try to replicate it, and see if you can, you know, really pick up on it. So what do you think makes your social media presence and what you guys do stand out from maybe other teams?
So I've like looked at, especially in our league, at our conference, the Tri-State Conference, I've like compared our Instagram to theirs, and it's somewhat similar in the way of how we post highlights and almost game day pictures and announcing games. The only really difference is like the graphics that we use and how we word our captions. And then I'm also looking at other collegiate teams and seeing how they make captions. So I saw one that I liked that I'm going to try to do for this next game. So I think a lot of ours is just similar because a lot of collegiate teams do similar things.
Yeah.
Even with like other sports, if you look at like the football teams, they have similar posts in the way they highlight players and they announce games. So I think a lot of it's just the same, but in a different style.
So have you thought about maybe reaching out to some of those social media managers from those teams? Because I know from my experience when I was running the Rooney fan club, is I'm still in a group chat with all the people who ran the fan clubs for all the other teams. That was one of the big things, is we would tell each other, hey, you know, this worked for us. Maybe it'll work for you. Give this a try. This didn't work for us. Or, okay, this is what you need to do when you come. You know, we only have limited seating. Make sure you're bringing seats. Oh, stupid things like the parking lot is far away from the pitch, right? So that way, you know, if you have any families or friends that are coming and maybe they're disabled or they have a hard time walking, okay, make sure they know they're going to have a hard time getting to the pitch side. You know, so have you ever thought about maybe reaching out to those other teams in your division and saying, hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, so a lot of the times when we do our games at home, they'll DM us on Instagram and ask, like, where's the field? Like, what address are we putting for the field?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to have video playing? Is there parking? Is there anything near the field that we could use? And then we played a game and it was it wasn't like a rugby field. It was just like a practice football field. So it was like, we had to go through the gates. They sent us all the information to go through the gates and the address and where to park, and you go sit up on this side of the field. And then we kind of go back and forth with some teams. And even when we play a team, we'll ask if they have video footage, if we don't. And then we'll figure out how to share the footage, and we'll share some photos that we have or some videos that we have.
That's great. You know, because again, like, if you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, if they don't have the person to do that or the equipment to do that, and you can afford to send them, you know, because you're doing, I'm assuming, just a wide angle, you know, of what's going on the pitch. Yeah. You can send them that. So one, they can look at it for their own practicing purposes, but two, use it for social media to say, hey, this is a great play by, you know, the hooker, you know, Robbie Gusak, and throw it out there. I mean, it's great to see. So Robbie, last question. How has this experience shaped your interest in marketing, communications, and leadership, and how are you going to apply it after graduation?
So for like the digital marketing and the social media, I've been talking to people about internships and seeing what they do on their social media pages and comparing it to what I do on our page, and kind of seeing how we can combine my skill set and what they do on their page and putting it together so there could be a mix of the two things. And then for leadership, I try to help a lot with the new guys on learning basic skills, passing, rucking, everything they need to get out onto the field and play a game. And I enjoy doing that. And I think that can translate well into the real world, where I have a job and I'm having to do things that relate to my major and to marketing and to anything like social media related, as opposed to helping people learn new skills.
And, you know, learning the leadership portion now and how to, I would say, quote unquote, manage the new guys, is an invaluable skill, because you really don't learn that in the workforce. You know, you kind of work your way up to a certain point in the workforce, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you got to manage some people. And most people have never done it before. So I think this is a really good experience for you and for the guys in the e-board and all the guys who are trying to teach the new guys, especially in our sport. Because we know most of the new guys coming in, yes, they're going to learn from the coaches, but the coaches are also trying to coach to win matches at this level, right? So they sometimes can't go as granular as maybe you showing up 30 minutes early with the new guys to, again, teach ruck position, you know, again, just pass left-handed and right-handed, things like that. So I think it's a great skill to have, and working with it now is going to just help you multitudes going into, you know, the real world, quote unquote, after you graduate. So this has been a great interview, Robbie. So how about you plug the team, social media, your social media, whatever you got.
So for Instagram, you could follow us at New Paltz Rugby. Then my Instagram, you could follow my photography page at RobGus, RobGus _ photography.
Awesome. And Robbie Gusak, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season. Good luck in sevens in the spring. And hopefully we'll be seeing more of your Instagram reels and TikToks real soon.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
No problem, bro.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.